Matthew has to find somebody who's like, every book will have robots in it.
It doesn't need to have robots. It could have cyborgs. Oh. It could have androids. Mm-hmm. artificial intelligences. There's so many possibilities, Anna.
If only we could take our love of reading to a new level.
Well, I've always wanted to start a book club.
Book club!
For
masochists and other deviants.
Hello and welcome to the Book Club for Masochists, where we read and discuss all the genres and types of literature, regardless of our actual interest in them.
Every month, we read books from a new, randomly picked genre. Then on the podcast, we discuss our reading choices, experiences, opinions, appeal factors, and other related topics as friends and library workers.
It is episode 177, which apparently means it's time to finally talk about book clubs.
Specific book clubs.
Yeah, specifically we're going to talk about community reading and promotional book clubs.
We can also just talk about book clubs, I guess.
We can, but then we can't use that for a whole separate episode.
Yeah, we have multiple types of thoughts here. This one will be more on the like community reads programs and book clubs designed by others. For others, I guess.
Bigger municipal or national level book clubs.
Or celebrity.
Yeah, I was thinking of them as national, but I guess maybe they're international.
My name is Matthew. I'm a librarian in Fort Collins, Colorado, USA.
My name is Anna. I'm also a librarian in Fort Collins, Colorado, which is located on the traditional and ancestral homelands of the Arapaho, Cheyenne, and Ute nations and peoples.
My name is Jam. I'm a librarian in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Stolo people.
My name is Megan. I am an archivist. I live and work on the unceded traditional territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe, which is also known as the National Capital Region of Canada.
Jam, tell us about our book list for this episode.
Our book list for this episode, I'm pretty sure, is essay collections.
Ooh.
As of this recording, it is not completed because I have been traveling.
Don't tell them that. It's secret. Don't ruin the magic.
I already vagued it up a level because what I didn't say is that it has not been started. I do think called shot, you can edit the called shot bit out if you'd like, but... there are certainly a lot of essay collections by authors of color. And so the book list for this episode, this retrospective book list of a genre we've covered from a previous episode, essay collections, is going to be essay collections from the past few years, recent essay collections by Black, Indigenous, and people of color authors. I feel very confident that I will be able to do that. In the next 2 days. I realized we were recording today and I was like, oh no, that means I have to make a book list. And then I saw that it was essay collections and I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, right.
It's one I can do.
Yeah, UFOs, aliens might be a bit more challenging.
I mean, that's part of the reason I haven't started this one is because all of the like spare time that I am like already on my computer and like, oh, let me pop in and see if I can get a few titles for the book list. I've been spending all of that time on the aliens and UFO lists.
You know, usually when people spend all their time looking up aliens, it's for other reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually extensive research, using up all your free time on aliens. Different motivation.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's kind of funny. One of the things whenever I tell people about the podcast that they ask me is, how do you decide which book you all read? Assuming that we're a regular book club. And even this is after I've told them how we pick the genre. They're like, how do you pick what book you read? And I'm like, oh, no, we all read our own books. Which kind of shows how different we are from what people perceive as book clubs. And so these ones are... about, you know, the larger, more than just, you know, a small group of people, but like large book clubs with many, many people involved with them.
That may never even meet in a group to discuss the book, which is one of the unique aspects of these like you can think of like celebrity book clubs, like Oprah's book club or Reese Witherspoon's book club, or sometimes you might have a municipality that promotes a book as their One City, One Read.
Or a university.
Yeah, or a university where they're all recommending the same book for people to read, but there's not that same expectation that you will discuss in a certain location with a group of people. There is maybe the implication that you could run across someone who has also partaken and has read the same book, or if you end up discussing books with someone, you're more likely to have read the same book. But there's not that like book club discussion aspect that we usually associate with typical local or smaller scale book clubs. So that's definitely one of the unique things about the larger promotional book club efforts. And so I think one of my first questions about it was like, what motivates a mass promotional book club if it's not about the conversation explicitly?
Well, I think for some of them, like there is some degree of conversation that people are passively part of. And so like they might be watching other people discuss the book or listening to people discuss the book at a live event or at on a TV show or a podcast or whatever it happens to be, or even in, you know, like you're, so there is a discussion, and so people are maybe getting some aspect of that part of it even if they're not participating themselves. Or some of them might encourage people to, you know, do the discussion with your friends. You know, I'm sure there are people that take that and be like, oh, okay, this is the book club that is on this TV show or whatever it happens to be, and me and my friends are going to read this book and discuss it ourselves, even if we're not on television.
Yeah, potentially. I noticed some of the, like, the ones that are run through the library, they have possibly a greater opportunity to be able to involve the author in, like, a session.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, so you have these things where you have author talks, at least, you know, where there's more discussions about those. I've seen maybe not, like, I don't know, like, how do you define a book club? You know, what's the difference between a book club and a, you know, book of the month club where you just get sent a book, one book every month?
Well, I didn't realize that I think that's kind of what Reese Witherspoon's book club is, that it is a book sales club, that it is a subscription service. Which it is weird to me that it is like, you know, as if you're subscribed to a loot box, but the loot box consists of one book, but also still has the same kind of prestige as like Oprah's book club, which was, you know, a television discussion book club, but was a, you know, discussion based rather than sales based initiative. Mm-hmm.
But how much of that was due to the temporal aspect of it, like when Oprah's book club was?
That's true. I don't know anything about Oprah's new book club or whatever it is. There is a like Oprah's book club 2.0.
Yeah. For all I know, the original version, maybe you could sign up for it. I don't know how it worked. Like how often did it promote books, choose books? Was it monthly, quarterly, yearly? The only books I ever know were on the Oprah Book Club was there was War and Peace, and there was a specific translation, and then there was that book that the guy didn't want the sticker on the cover.
Oh, yeah. Was it Franzen?
Jonathan Franzen, yeah.
Oh, I don't know who it was. It was just that guy.
Jonathan Franzen. Oh. There's a link to the Wikipedia article in in the document that I put together here. Yeah, Jonathan Franzen, the corrections she selected, and he stated that she had picked some good books, but she's picked enough schmaltzy one-dimensional ones that I cringe myself, even though I think she's really smart and fighting the good fight, and added that his novel was going to be a hard book for that audience.
Yeah, who've read War and Peace.
Right, yeah, so.
Yeah, I, like,
and anyway, wow. I was very busy dyeing my hair, so I couldn't look at the document. I'm sorry, Jam.
Fair enough. So I think there's an element of recommending quote-unquote good books.
Yeah, before we get to that, can I please backtrack a bit? Because I've been wanting to say for a while.
yes, please.
That this one of the things that you brought up there, actually, I think it's one of the motivations for these kinds of book clubs, is it's pretty easy, actually, to find publishers' websites that have little pages about why do a one community one read book? Why select a book for your whole community to read? Guess what? They make a lot of money off of having an entire community buy a giant number of copies of their book. So there is like a financial underlying like component to this as well. And there is a reason why publishers might push the concept in addition Absolutely. To others.
It's mm-hmm. it's wild to me when occasionally I come across a book that has like that section in the back that's like questioned for your book club. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is not what I usually read.
Yeah. But it does bring up, too, like there's a lot of costs associated with doing a program like this as well. And it's not just like the purchase of the book. Then if you decide to do an author talk, there's the costs associated with that. There's the costs associated just with like advertising all of it, marketing it, selecting it, getting everybody. Like there's just a lot of costs involved in this. So that in and of itself is sort of an interesting component to it.
I think sometimes the authors are willing to do the talks for free potentially because they're going to sell so many copies of the book.
I'd be real careful about going there. I don't want to open the can of authors being like, we deserve money. Mm. We should still be paid for our work. This is our labor. Like, I don't want to suggest that authors ever should do anything free, even if it is with the goal yeah. of like getting more of their books sold.
But there is that reality.
There
of
is
like,
that, yeah.
Yeah, the book talk tour where they go to bookstores and libraries and sign books and do readings and all that heavy promotional stuff.
Yeah, and like how much of it is within an individual author's control as opposed to like the publisher making all of those decisions about what the marketing is going to look like and what we will and will not do for free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, in terms of the motivation on the side of the book pickers or the book promoters for these programs, there's a sense that they're encouraging community in one sense, and then around an activity that I think for most people is seen as a positive one, like it's supporting literacy and literature and, you know, supporting, maybe it's supporting local authors or
the abstract concept of diversity.
Exactly. There's all kinds of I want to call them moral benefits, but just like positive shine to the work that feels like it's an uncomplicated good, I guess.
It is. There is to some extent where like I feel these are often seen in like maybe the traditional library sense of like improving books, you know, like these are books that are going to make you better as a person after reading it in some way or the other. It seems rare that you find a book like I don't know. Maybe there are, but it seems rare to me that you'd find a book that's just like
rip roaring good narrative, gonna have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's like, and I think about I know probably like a decade ago at this point, Vancouver did one, and they chose Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Which I think mm-hmm. a lot of people were like, why are you choosing this book? And I think that part of it was like, well, it's short and it's funny. So maybe people will read it. And I don't know how successful it was for them. But I don't – do they even do it anymore?
How do they even measure success though?
Well, they have a lot of towels in a cupboard somewhere. So it can't have been that successful.
You mean the Vogon –
well, they gave those out at the Vogon Poetry Competition because yeah. they had extras left over.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Yeah.
They had towels printed up that like little hand towels for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to promote the – I can't remember what they said now.
I don't know, but they
don't panic.
Yeah, don't panic. Yeah,
it was probably just don't panic. Yeah, yeah,
always have a towel.
And that,
but it is a good point of like, how do you measure success on these as well? Because actually, I was going to say, I realized just before we started, I was like, dude, I should maybe have gone and looked some scholarship up about these to find out, like, you know, has anybody studied the impact of them on communities and how they're run? And like, it's kind of hard to follow or to, it's kind of hard to find that kind of scholarship. I mean, A, because like, how many public libraries have the funding, training, like, opportunity to develop the kind of scholarship necessary to study these sorts of things? How many people go back and study them and believe the libraries are worth studying? Like, we just, there's a lot of stuff in libraries that doesn't get actually, like, you know, checked out in terms of how well it functions. But then a lot of what does get studied gets studied via internal, like assessment measurements that we collect on our own, and nobody else gets them. Nobody else knows how well it went. We know from our internal, which like may or may not have gotten fully checked by someone or like used or put together in a usable way, right? Like,
yeah. Maybe if it was wildly successful, there was a conference presentation.
Right.
But like, are we talking about what doesn't work as much? Or
the towel says Vogue on Poetry Slam. So Anna, you were right and I was wrong. So I don't know why these exist, to be honest. I thought they were tied to the one book, one thing, but maybe not. Who knows? Maybe there's just even more confusing towels.
Maybe the Vogue on Poetry things became a tradition out of that one book, one read.
Entirely possible.
I don't know.
How?
Someone listening to this podcast probably knows. Tell us. So have any of us participated in one of these? Is that the next step, or do we want to talk more about other things?
We've got a list of questions if we want to
move through them.
Yeah.
Because on the other hand, or the other side of the equation, is what appeals to readers for these different book promotion things. I feel like one strong one is the question that always terrified me when I worked in frontline libraries, is that someone might come up to you and ask for a good book.
Yeah. Yeah. My toughest like reader's advisory question ever, it was like a teen, but like a slightly older teen who, I don't know, you know, I think may have needed a book for school or something, but was just like, could you recommend me like a good book? And I was like, well, what do you like to read? And he's like, I don't know, just something really good. And would give me no more information. And like in my head, I was like, I don't think you read books. I think someone has instructed you to read a book and you don't know what appeals to you about the experience of reading. And that is, it's going to be hard for me to find something.
And you gave them the D&D Dungeon Master's Guidebook. No, you did not do that. Sorry.
I did not. No, I don't remember what I gave. I think I've tried to find some, like, you know, classics or something, but, you know, it was a challenge.
Yeah. And I think it's a challenge to find books that have a so completely broad appeal that you could expect a whole university, a whole town, a whole giant group of people to all find this same reading experience appealing. Or maybe you just have to find stuff that have a couple of different appeal hooks and be like, well, if this isn't the type of stuff that you find appealing, maybe you don't continue subscribing to this book thing. It's interesting. I didn't realize that the Reese Book Club thing was also a subscription service, but that makes sense thinking of some of the other like book subscription services that are out there where it's like, we will pick you some books and you will probably enjoy most of them to read.
Hmm. Yeah, it does raise the, like, one of the reasons I saw for why some communities choose to do this is because it is a literacy promotion. opportunity, right? So trying to get at those readers who don't read much or don't read often by providing a simple way to locate a pre-assessed book that should be of, you know, good quality and well-written and whatever, whatever, that can be shared across that community and can reach a lot of readers at many different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of books. And especially if you don't like follow, you know, particular authors or have a good idea of what's coming out, it is just choice fatigue. Like there's a lot out there, and you know, it could be something that simplifies the process. Especially I'm still stuck on like the Oprah and Reese, the celebrity versions of this, where it is very easy to go, oh, I like that person, and that person liked this book.
Yes.
So I will read this.
I think that is actually a good point that you bring up, that for some people, it is actually, particularly with the celebrity associated ones, a way to feel closer to a celebrity that they particularly identify with or want to emulate or whatever it is that, you know, that they feel like they are sharing something with that mm-hmm. celebrity then through that experience. Mm-hmm.
Another nuance to the someone has picked the book for me is also because there are so many books and most people don't read more than a handful of books a year if they read at all. So, you know, maybe you don't want to waste your time on things that are not going to meet your needs as a reader. So someone has done the selection for you, and that's pretty valuable.
At the same time, like to me, it seems like, I don't know, like school in that way.
I was trying to think of if we are ready to move into our next question, if we've ever picked up a book because of an initiative like this. I was trying to think if I have, and the things that came to mind were all like summer reading. We're all like, when was the time I read a book because like it was recommended on a broader level? And I remember, like summer reading in high school. And then my first year of undergrad, there was a like summer reading book that was not like, you know, for a particular class, but was just like all of the first year undergrad students are going to read this particular book, and we'll have a Q&A with the author during, you know, orientation week.
Yeah, that's like the institute that I work at is doing one of those. And I looked up the book that they're doing this year, and I was like, oh, there's no chance I'm reading this. You'd have to pay me. Like, I work there, and they'd have to pay me extra money to read this book.
What is the book?
The Book of Joy, Lasting Happiness in a Changing World by the Dalai Lama, Desmond Tutu, and Douglas Carlton Abrams.
Dang.
No way am I ever reading that.
I love Desmond Tutu. I met him once.
I don't think the ours is called Rams Read because it's CSU Rams. So I don't think ours has been announced for this year, but apparently they actually give all incoming first year students a copy when they come in, which is like lot of copies of that book.
Yeah.
I will say, like, especially for the ones that are run through the library, just having it more in my face makes me more likely to pick it up, even if I don't necessarily read it. I'll be like, oh, I have heard of this book, or how interesting, someone has decided to select it. Maybe I will enjoy it.
I don't think that I have ever read one off of something, but I've had a similar sort of reaction, Megan, where I've, like, particularly when I moved to Canada to do my MLS and I started to pay attention to, like, what are the things I need to know about libraries and reading culture in Canada? And so CBC's, the Canada Reads. Yeah. So I started I'd never heard of it before. And now I started to actually follow what was on Canada Reads a little bit. And I don't think I ever read something because it was on Canada Reads, but they also get talked about a lot. So they're kind of in the ethos. And so I have read things because they were in the ethos and then realized, oh, they were probably being talked about a lot because they were on Canada Reads.
I one of my coworkers at my last job read all of them.
Oh, really?
Every year, she read all of them.
Wow.
Dang. Yeah, my mom definitely likes to read them. She won't necessarily like the books, but
I've totally had a similar experience, Anna, as an American who moved to Canada, where I can't think of like an initiative in the States that has the same sort of level of like these five books everyone knows now. definitely like raised my awareness of particular books.
For those who are not Canadians, does one of us want to explain what Canada Reads is?
It's a battle of the books. A panel of celebrity judges pick books.
I was going to put celebrities in quotation marks.
Yeah, I hesitated on the word celebrity. Canadian celebrities. Canadian media figures.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
They each have a book that they're promoting and they talk about them. I've never actually partaken of the whatever they do.
They vote off.
I don't know what they do.
Is it a radio show? Is it a TV show? We don't know.
Yes, it's both. No, it's both. It's they each talk about the book, why they think we should read it, and then they vote off the book each day or each, I think it's each day. Until there's only one book left.
Mm-hmm. They do the voting.
They do the voting. No, we don't get to vote.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Okay, can I say this brings up an interesting dynamic that I early on I thought we should talk about a little, is like who gets to pick the books in these situations, because that's one of the dynamic differences when you're in a reading club where everybody's going to read the same thing and discuss it, is often there's a discussion process or a negotiation process, or you take turns selecting or something like that. You have some amount of control over what's read. In this situation, these kinds of situations, who gets to pick? Who has that power? Who is the one who's like making the selection? That's an interesting additional component in there, because it's a certain kind of like social power dynamic in that, deciding what is worthy of.
And so very different between the celebrity version and the like the library or municipality led version, because in the celebrity version, we assume they pick the book, and they may have like people who help them do that. And then in the other one, like it's, I don't know anyone who has ever been like promoted as the person who selected the book. It's kind of like the institution has decided.
We have communed with the spirits and they have passed down.
As librarians, I feel like we've almost certainly know people who've been on these committees, who've chosen the books for either city ones or institutional ones. Because
or
that's
book prizes.
It's us. We're the ones who get to choose. Horrifying as that may seem.
Questionable anyway.
But to go back to Canada Reads, this year, Kate Beaton's Ducks, 2 years in the Oil Sands, I can't remember the exact subtitle, won, and it is extremely popular in Canada. Like the success winning that has meant a lot of people know about that book and are reading that book, and has had no spillover into America whatsoever.
So that was an interesting thing when we were discussing, or we're not discussing, but like picking potential books for our We All Read the Same Book Month.
The One Book, One Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a couple of suggestions, and one of them had been very popular on Canada Reads and was apparently not available in the States whatsoever, because there was no, like... And I was like, but click Canada Reads. Doesn't that make all the books popular?
Not only not popular, just not available. Could not get it. Could not buy it. Like,
amazing to me that it just was completely. And it's just one of those things. It's like, yeah, Canada is a different country. And while you think everything is on Amazon, everything is not on Amazon. Thankfully, maybe.
Yeah. I heard there was somebody on my street today. I could hear out my window singing the American national anthem. And I was like, no, come on.
What?
Wrong country, dude.
You know, if like, I wish this was like next episode, the Independence Day alien episode, so I could be like, oh, you mean like Will 2K, the America's national anthem? Except I can't even think of what the best Will Smith song to be as the American national anthem would even be. Did he do a song
might
for
be
Independence
Will 2K.
Day? Is it just the Men in Black song? That's clearly, you know,
that's kind of a funny cross. Real, like,
he did not do a credit song for Independence Day, though. Maybe he should have.
Yeah.
Wild Wild West is the...
Yes. No. Honestly, some sort of combination of Men in Black and Wild Wild West does kind of seem like America in many ways.
No.
Yeah.
Book clubs.
So book clubs, not Will Smith.
So I guess the follow-up question was whether we had avoided books because they had the promotional sticker or were part of the campaign.
I feel like I have not, because I am a slow reader and most of the books I read are for this podcast, it has not come up that often in recent memory, but I feel like my assessment of a book has changed a little. If I, like, specifically the Reese's Book Club, where I saw like a book cover and was like, oh, this looks interesting, and then saw like heard a title and heard a summary or something, and then saw that it was part of the Reese Witherspoon Book Club, and I was like, oh, this is gonna make me cry. I don't want to read this.
Every time you say Reese's Book Club, I'm like Reese's Pieces, like the peanut butter cup have a book club.
I love that. Yeah, I just feel like I've seen the sticker and been like, oh, this is gonna be heavy, or this is gonna be more literary than I thought it was. So
there's. Is like an expectation of what a book club book probably
is. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to read that.
I've definitely read along with podcasts, which are not book clubs, but that do either read-alongs of series for this is all comics, or specific titles.
Like comics or choose your own adventure books.
I don't read those though. Manga Splaining is a podcast that I listen to. Where they each episode they read and discuss one volume of manga, and so I've read along with that a lot, and so that can be seen as a book club, and like to the point where like I will, if it's a book that I want to read that I haven't read, like a graphic novel, I'll put off listening to that episode until I have a chance to read the book. Mm-hmm. But they don't get, I don't know, they don't get stickers in the covers for that one, not yet anyway.
I don't think that I have, I'm not sure if I've avoided or like gone for a book specifically because it has one of those stickers or something on there, or I've seen it on a list per se. But I have definitely avoided purchasing the copy that has the sticker on it because I would rather yes. not have my personal copy have
Wait,
that sticker.
Are you Jonathan Franzen? Is this?
Like it has nothing
we
to do with
We just want a clean copy.
Yeah, that's exactly
yeah.
it. I want the clean copy.
It's not specific to the celebrity. Same with like,
movie
you know,
covers.
Now a movie or now a TV show or that kind of sticker as well.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all these book stickers that might end up on the front. And I just, if I can find a copy that does not have those book stickers, I will generally go for that copy.
Awards are fine. Nice shiny little medal is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the new barrier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the other ones are. Clearly, I read too many children's books.
Prince, National Book Award.
Booker.
I've got some awards for adults, too. Maybe less likely to get a sticker, but I guess, yeah, there are the Canada Reads does stickers. Right? Do they? Like, for books that were previous Canada Reads winners?
Probably.
I think. Probably.
I don't see why you wouldn't if I was a publisher.
Because they don't want to print more of them. because books.
A sticker.
Yeah, there's a difference between a sticker that you put on the cover.
That is true.
Versus a cover that looks like a, that has something that looks like a sticker.
We've been saying sticker. I can't remember the last time I saw a book that had a legitimate sticker on the cover.
I've definitely encountered
it. I feel like it is more likely to have the fake just printed sticker.
We touched a little bit on the idea of the book club book.
Mm-hmm.
But for these particular promotional campaigns, which aren't always styled as book clubs, are there certain types of books the campaigns seem to want to highlight, aside from the idea of the literary book or the good book?
So I would say that these are often associated with a sense of like, how do we build community? And therefore, they will often deal with some aspect of addressing whatever portion of the community is the du jour topical. We need to address the issue of immigration. We need to address the issue of, right. And so it's becomes a little bit of an issue driven sometimes, which can sometimes be really productive and sometimes feel a little reductive in terms of how actually do we build community, particularly in engaging as, you know, groups in our community that are otherwise underserved or marginalized or, you know, like not given a voice in the community.
Doing the work in building community by throwing a book at it.
Yeah. Yeah. The book will solve it.
Yes.
If only we understood each other better.
By reading one book. I feel like it is, this may, you know, I've not done a full assessment of all of the selections for Canada Reads or Oprah's Book Club or various One City One Books, but I feel like it is contemporary or historical. I feel like it is rarely, if ever, if it's science fiction or fantasy, it is like very light. It is not like hard sci-fi or fantasy. And also it is narrative or it is a biography. It is narrative fiction or biography. It's not poetry or another kind of nonfiction book or, yeah.
Generally speaking, there are less genre fiction and selections in this. So that would be less romance, less.
Yeah, I've never heard of romance.
Science fiction. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Less fantasy. Those are less likely to be the options in this.
Although I'm looking through the list of some of these things and I don't know any of these books. So like
speculative fiction is sometimes in there, but that tends to, you know, be when that hits into the realm of this is literary as well as, right? Or like, less horror, right?
Mm. Oh, sorry. Apparently the Reese Witherspoon Book Club has had romance on it.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's
nice. I'm not super surprised about that, but I imagine that it is like the literary crossover romance that it is not like
it's actually had like science fiction and thrillers and mysteries and stuff, so dystopian fiction, so it seems to jump around more than some of the other things. Likes books that begin with the word the, apparently, this year.
It's funny, I randomly came across, I think it was a tweet or something just before we picked this as our topic, where somebody was talking about how they preferred the, apparently Natalie Portman also has one and they prefer her book club because it's more out there and interesting, weird and wild stuff. I have no idea. I cannot confirm this. I did not go look up her book club in any way. I was just like, okay, random opinion that is happens to be relevant to the topic of our next discussion.
I'm interested to check that out. I did have the thought, this is not on our list of questions. What celebrity, for your own definition of celebrity, what celebrity book club would interest you in picking up a book? If it, like, which celebrity, if they started a book club, would you be like, okay, I do want to know what this person is reading. I will take this person's recommendations.
I want to know what Jeff Vandermeer is reading.
That reminds me of that book subscription thing you were in several years ago where you got a Jeff Vandermeer book that was like annotated with like post-it notes.
Is that the Book Riot subscription?
I think so.
I don't think it was Book Riot. It was a different, I don't remember which service it was, but you would get a book that had annotations from the author in it on little notes each month, and you would get a couple of books from them that they had selected as books that were particularly interesting to them. So it would be like two or three books in the box. I only did it a few months because it's like not cheap, right? So I just did it as a treat a few times. And Jeff Vandermeer's Born was one of the books that I got that way.
And they gave you like stuff.
Yeah,
well,
and there were little things with it. Yeah. This was smack in the middle of the era of boxes were just like all the rave. Everybody was like, get your book subscription box. Here's 27,000 different versions of book subscription box. Who knows how many of those have lasted the time since then.
I honestly can't imagine any celebrities book club that I'd want to read along with, even if it was graphic novels, because this sounds like something that Anna would say. It's like, I don't want to be told what to read to some extent. The fact that I do this podcast, which tells me what to read, and I set myself my own goals as well. And so another one, and I'd like, I don't trust other people's opinions, I guess, maybe. I don't know.
So I will say, generally speaking, I find it interesting to find out what authors read, yeah. Even if they're not authors. I particularly am hugely into. So like sometimes, why am I forgetting his first name? Scalzi.
Oh, John.
Thank you. It's super simple. John Scalzi. I don't know I assume he still does this. I don't know. I'm not really hardly ever on Twitter at all anymore. But he used to put up like whatever arcs or things he was reading and a picture of a bunch of stuff on there. And it was always just fascinating to see what kind of things he was reading, or he, you know, made his list of like what he got sent that he was going to try to actually read. And it's just interesting. It doesn't mean I'd read along, but I find it fascinating what authors choose to read and why they, I would love to know what romance authors choose to read. What did they consider, you know, the things that they would love to read out of?
I think there's so much pressure on these to be like classics, you know, or like literary things like we mentioned before. And I'm like, I would have to find someone who's like, yeah, here's the science fiction novel you haven't heard of before.
Matthew has to find somebody who's like, every book will have robots in it.
It doesn't need to have robots. It could have cyborgs. Oh. It could have androids. Mm-hmm. artificial intelligences. There's so many possibilities, Anna.
I do like to listen to the Jonathan Strahan and Gary K. Wolfe podcast that's on science fiction and fantasy, just to listen to what books they're talking about. Because I think they're both editors. It's called the Cood Street podcast, and I think it's been running for over a decade now at this point.
Wait, Cood Street? How do you spell this?
Cood Street. COODE.
Got it.
They had a fun series. I'm not sure if it was maybe started in 2020, where they just did 10-minute interviews with authors that they liked, where they talked about what the author was reading, and what they were working on, if anything, that I really like, because I prefer the shorter format sometimes, just to hear about a lot of different books. And then if something struck me, then I would go follow up on it. I didn't feel like I needed to read everything that they talked about, because they talked about so much and probably read so much more. But it felt like that first level filter to things that they were excited about, and often they would be things that I enjoyed as well. Did you have a celebrity in mind, Jan?
I was going to say, I asked this question. I don't know if I have an answer. I mean, I'd be curious what Carly Rae Jepsen is reading, just because I think it would be like, I don't think I'd be able to guess. I think it would be different than I would imagine. There is a podcast that I haven't actually listened to, but I was just looking up, Our Opinions Are Correct. Heidi is making a lot of noise. Which is with Annalee Newitz and Charlie Jane Anders, two science fiction authors. And I was just like, oh, they must recommend books. And I just pulled it up. And one of their recent episodes is What to Watch and Read This Summer. And there's a bunch of, you know, presumably science fiction novels that I haven't heard of. So I may start checking that out. I also feel like I would choose super, super niche people, like, you know, dropout cast members. What is Brennan Lee Mulligan reading? It's not going to turn into a book club. Not enough critical mass to support that initiative. And he's busy.
Yeah, I feel like this would be more interesting if I, you know, watched movies or TV or knew made music that people liked these days was.
Mm-hmm.
as opposed to being an old who has stopped paying attention to the world of popular culture.
I feel like I want someone who reads more than me.
Oh, wow. Megan.
It's going to be hard to find.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, that's why I like the editors, because it's their job.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's going to be hard to find somebody who reads more than you and also has a full-time job doing something else that they're notable for.
Yeah. This yeah. makes me think of Liberty Hardy and from the book, right? That's where I was like, okay, there you go.
So there's a sweet spot in between me and her, I think.
Yeah.
Because I could not keep up with Liberty Hardy.
All right. Do we want anything else from these questions we want to address?
I think the last question is a good ending question. If anything is a question we wanted to end on.
Yeah, that's a good ender. How much time do we have left in this call? 7 minutes.
Matthew's going to be really happy with this episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, we want to do the final question and just let this be a short episode?
I was just double checking because there's the question we had about what have been some of the scandals and problems with one book promotions over the years. And it made me think back to the...
is it the Million Little Pieces?
Yeah, the Million Little Pieces one. Mm-hmm. Right. Like that's the one that hops up right away and you think of where Million Little Pieces was promoted as one of the Oprah Book Club selections. And then it turned out, of course,
to be a memoir.
It was supposedly a memoir, and it turned out, of course, that it was not, and it was very much fictional. And caused a whole interesting, actually, in a way, a kind of an interesting discussion about the meaning of memoir and fiction and, you know, where these overlap, which I think is actually a very interesting, complicated issue, although maybe in this particular book and instance, not as complicated.
So, Jam, I found Carly Rae Jepsen's book club from 10 years ago.
What?
What? Hey, what? Hey, what? I should have known you were doing something. You were quiet for a while.
I'm so devious. Anyway, apparently it was on Google Plus, and so there's not a lot of information about it around anymore. But books read included Tess of the D'Urbervilles by Thomas Hardy, Let's Pretend This Never Happened by, I don't know who wrote that one.
I can think of the cover. I've seen it.
Lady Sings the Blues, Wild by Cheryl Strayed, and Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen are books that were on it.
There's a good mix of classics and contemporary and memoir.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's, you can go and stalk her Twitter post from a decade ago and find out more information.
Oh boy.
Room by Emma Donoghue.
Donoghue, yeah.
Well, Donoghue.
She spelt it wrong in the tweet then. So. Oh.
Well, no, I think it has like a G in it, but I think it's just Donoghue. But she could have spelled it wrong. I don't know. You did not mention that it was hashtag nerdy girls with a Z book club.
I did not.
It was a decade ago.
If you want to help us with our book club, next episode will be, not the next episode, two episodes from now, we'll be pitching our books where we do our all read the same book, one podcast that we do once a year, where we are a real actual book club. You will be able to vote on which book that we all read. We will each pitch one. It's like Canada Reads. We each pitch a book and then you vote for it as opposed to us. So it's not like Canada Reads. Anyway, join us next month. That happens. But for now, thanks for listening. And here's the...
We have one more question we were going to do.
What's the question?
Are we cynical about the publishing promotion machine or happy about whatever helps people pick both books or both?
Yes.
Yes.
Both. I will say I have grown more cynical about book publishing in general. I feel like I don't remember what triggered this train of thought, but I was reading something about how disposable books seem to publishers, where when they are new, they are, you know, promoted, you know, to different varying degrees. But like once that thing is like 6 months old, it's, you know, pulp it, they're done with it, on to the next thing. And so I have been feeling like as an industry, publishing is fashion, is fashion, but with words, that it is, yeah, just very always chasing a new trend and disposing of the previous works, which is not how we typically think about the world of literature, because we have some high-minded ideas about literacy and the meaning of literature and culture, which, you know, are true, but as a industry that makes money, yeah, I've just been growing cynical about how publishing works.
From that trend issue real quick, I just want to note, I can't wait until the current cover trend changes, because I am not into the current cover designs at all.
What is it about them you don't like?
These big, clashy, bold colors they're just like smeared onto the cover. They're not even like representative in any way. They're not even graphically interesting in the way they're laid out. It's just like a bunch of big, bold colors smeared onto the cover. I do not get it.
That said, I am not cynical about necessarily these initiatives specifically, but insofar as they are part of that bigger machine of like new books tend to get chosen for these. We're not going to the back catalog in many cases.
As Matthew noted, I'm very much a person who's like, don't tell me what to read. So I always have trouble with book clubs in general. So I'm not much of a joiner for them. I do kind of appreciate what having a one community book sort of process in some way does. I like that the Canada Reads really does create a discussion around books, and that they do enter the zeitgeist then. Like, then I just end up accidentally reading one of them because it just floated around so much and people were talking about it. I didn't even realize it came out of that, but that's clearly why everybody was talking about it. I kind of appreciate that, because that's a different sort of way to get those books, certain books floating around in the zeitgeist than just the publisher's particular push methods that they're using. However, whether or not it does anything to like any of these other goals that we might have around increasing literacy or increasing the amount of reading people do, or increasing, you know, aspects of community that have to do with like how inclusive we are, or stuff like that, or understanding of certain groups. I don't know that it does any of those things, but that's okay. I don't know that these things have to do those things, and they still have value. So, I don't know. That's where I sit on.
I think there might be some value in us wanting to create those effects.
Right. Mm. Right. Yeah. The very fact that we would like to see those effects created in the world has its own kind of value. All right. Yeah. I think
now we can call it.
Yeah, I think everybody's ran out here, and Matthew's really ran out of energy.
He's done.
He's done.
We teased the idea of a short episode in front of him, and then took it away.
Then we took it away. And he was not happy about it. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Club for Masochists. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show, subscribe so you never miss an episode, and consider giving us a positive rating and or review. And if you've already done that, thank you very much.
For all our URLs and social media accounts, the four in our name is a numeral, you can go to our website at bookclub4am.com. Join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/bookclub4am. And find us on Instagram at bookclub4am. Our email address is bookclub4m@gmail.com.
On our website, you can find show notes that will provide links to things we mentioned, social media info for everyone who appeared on this episode, and our genre-based book lists of titles by authors of color.
You can suggest a genre or title for us to read, or request a recommendation from us, even for your book club. We have a form you can fill out on our website if you want to do that. No promises on reading your suggestions, but we will give you a recommendation if you ask for one.
All opinions are our own and do not reflect our places of employment, if they exist.
Our theme music is To Arrakis by Dark Sun from the Free Music Archive.
New episodes are the first and third Tuesday of every month.
Join us again on Tuesday, July 4th, when we'll be discussing the nonfiction topic of UFOs and aliens.
Then, on Tuesday, July 18th, it is time for the One Book, One Podcast pitch episode, as I mentioned earlier. And so we will each be talking about a book that we think all of us should read, and then you will vote on which one is chosen. So don't miss that one. They'll be good books, not bad ones.
Yeah, we promise.
Cut it, cut it.